Hoshana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear. And yes, Hoshana Tova, which means have a good year, because last Sunday, Monday, till sundown on Tuesday, began the Lord's real new year, 5779, which is the anniversary of the creation of the world, more specifically, Adam and Eve. Now, we have entered into the days of awe, the high holy days leading up to Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, and that is our topic today. So, with that said, let us pray a special prayer for this particular season.
Okay. We thank you, Lord, that because you came, our sins have been washed away by your blood, and that our names are written in your book of life. Let us all, especially during this season, humbly come before you, expressing our true regrets for often setting you aside for trivial matters. We are sorry for any unpleasing behaviors and any unforgiveness we might be holding towards anyone. Most of all, if we have lost our first love, may it be totally restored as we praise your holy name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Okay, this would be a good time to read the words of Jesus in Luke 10:19. Would you do that?
Look, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
And we certainly do rejoice. And no matter what you are going through, no one can steal the joy of our salvation. So cherish it. Keep it close, being careful to avoid all forms of evil. For the enemy watches you like a hawk. For even the most tiniest entrance to tempt your flesh.
Hey, you know, that's great words of wisdom, my dear.
Amen.
So, what's going on in Syria?
Oh, a lot. Well, Iran has turned the Syrian army into another proxy force. Iran is building new bases and missile factories in the country, and now also provides ballistic missiles to its proxy force in Iraq, while continuing to supply large quantities of weapons to its Lebanese ally Hezbollah, even using civilian airlines to do so. We also now know that China is getting involved to help Syria and Russia to take back Idlib from the rebels, as many believe that a chemical weapons attack will be purposely done and is about to take place, and so to blame Assad or Russia, which would justify attacks from the United States, its allies, UK, France, Saudi Arabia, and Israeli forces, which, well, that would really escalate into a much bigger war. So a lot is at stake here.
Is Idlib the last stronghold held by the rebels?
It is. And there is also a major highway in that area that Assad needs to control for economic reasons. So tensions are very high, and if Turkey gets more involved, NATO would have to enter as well, because Turkey is a NATO country. And they are also very concerned, Turkey is, that they would have to receive millions of refugees since Idlib is on its borders. It really has turned into a very dangerous situation, possibly World War III. And by the way, YouTube has banned from its channels all news about Syria. They don't want us to know the truth.
And what's going on in the Mueller investigation?
Well, it's still moving in President Trump's favor, I think, except it is obvious now that an internal White House coup is in the making. You know, Hannity on Fox News keeps everyone very informed in much detail, should you want to keep up with it. But don't stop praying for our president.
And also the people that are affected by that horrible Hurricane Florence,
yes,
the
yes.
bad one.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, indeed.
I I hear the Pope will be resigning.
Well, I think he will have to. More proof has surfaced that he not only covered up sexual abuse, he also promoted them, as in Cardinal McCarrick, making him his personal advisor. I think the people need to stop funding the Vatican until they clean house. And speaking of funding, President Trump continues to cancel millions of dollars to the Palestinians until they play ball, so to speak.
I guess you call that bribery.
Yes, and it's, I guess, always been that way, everywhere.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay. Thank you, dear. We are now officially in the most holiest days of the year in God's Hebrew calendar, which is a picture or a type of the 7 years of the tribulation period, because repentance will be of the utmost importance to those who are left behind.
Because they did not personally make Jesus Lord over their life.
Mm-hmm. Let us again reiterate why we teach on the Hebraic roots of our faith. First of all, because it is our foundation. The Bible was penned by righteous Hebrew men inspired of God.
And number two, Jesus was a Jew.
Yes. So therefore, shouldn't we want to know as much as we can about our Savior? How he might have spent his days and why? Anyhow, the Lord has laid it heavily upon our hearts to share just the basic knowledge with all who are called by his name. Many don't realize that the Bible, especially in the Gospel of John, that the festivals surrounded most everything Jesus did. So, in our minds, it really is your duty as Christians to at least try to understand the foundation of your faith that really became lost during the Dark Ages. Remember, each of these specific dates are the appointments that God made with all his righteous ones.
Yes, both the Old Testament and New Testament believers.
Yes. These high holy days right now are the final days of the 40 days of Teshuvah that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, and are the connecting days between when the gates are opened on Rosh Hashanah and then closed on Yom Kippur. So if you're not right with your fellow man, thereby right with God, by Yom Kippur, their names would not be written in the Book of Life.
And, you know, that was very important to them.
As it should be. It's important to us.
Yeah.
But they do take these days very seriously. Still, the Orthodox today do.
And much prayer goes on during this week.
Yes. That's why the common greeting during this season is Lashana Tova Tikitevu, which means,
may you be inscribed for a good year.
Implying, may their name remain in the Book of Life. So, yes, this season is a very big deal. So, from sundown on Tuesday till sundown next Wednesday, September 19th, they do a complete fast, which is the only mandatory 24-hour fast to afflict their souls that God told them to do, as recorded in Leviticus 23.
And to me, it is very afflicting.
It is indeed. So glad Jesus came to free us from that law. However, fasting is always good. So if you want to do it strictly as a love offering unto God, then it really is a good thing. And we believe Jesus will return to earth at the end of the tribulation, Revelation 19, to the sound of the Yom Kippur great trumpet, Matthew 24:31, to keep this appointment. Those in the tribulation who continue to refuse to accept Christ as the Messiah will be damned forever. They will be classed along with the goats, not able to enter the millennial kingdom with the sheep.
Matthew 25:31-34.
Yes, talks about the judgment of the sheep and the goats.
So, a quick summary?
Okay, well, today, according to Jewish thought, on every Yom Kippur, God assesses the hearts of each person whether their name should be written in the Book of Life. It is a rehearsal for the final days, because someday Jesus will literally fulfill Yom Kippur when he returns bodily to earth for all to see him face to face at the end of the tribulation. And as we said, we'll end on a Yom Kippur Day of Atonement, which as well closes the season of Teshuvah.
Then there's only one appointment left for him to fulfill.
Right after that, 5 days later, and by the way, that's Jesus' earthly birthday, at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus ushers in the millennial kingdom.
And I believe we will discuss that next week.
You think? Mm-hmm. Yes. Remember, God organized purposeful, detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases that the Jewish Jesus would use in order to give especially his last generation huge clues so to learn how it will all take place and why. And Paul confirms this to us in Romans 15:4.
That the things written before is for our learning today.
That's right. Okay, so what was the scripture written before for our learning today?
Leviticus 23:2, I believe.
Yes. Well, allow me. God told Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts, now again, that word is moed, and it means appointments of the Lord, you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. The word for convocation is mikra, and it means rehearsals. He goes on to say, these are my feasts.
Whose appointments?
Right. It's the Lord's appointments, not the Jewish appointments, but the Lord's appointments. So continuing to verse 27 and 28 of Leviticus 23.
Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation.
That means rehearsal.
For you. You shall afflict your souls with an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
Also read verse 32.
It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month.
That's Tishrei.
At evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath.
So, besides the regular Saturday Sabbath, Yom Kippur is one of those extra holy days. So, there are a few idiomatic expressions associated with Yom Kippur. And I think you have one of them right there.
Called the fast.
Yes. So, why did they originally now, need atonement? Well, you might recall that Moses, as recorded in Exodus 32:30, he wanted to try to make atonement unto God for the people after their grievous sin of making the golden calf to worship it as a false god. Then 40 days later, he returned down the mountain with the new tablets. And by following the scriptural timeline, we know it to be at the end of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur. You see, Moses was a prototype of Jesus, who will return as well on a Yom Kippur with another covenant for his people. Saints, we really can learn a lot from what was done before.
You know, there are some other idiomatic titles for Yom Kippur.
Actually, all the feasts have various other names, But for Yom Kippur, one is...
Nila.
That's right. The closing of the gates that were opened on Rosh Hashanah. And you can read about that in Isaiah 26:2, and also Psalm 118:19, which says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord." Do you have another one?
Day of Judgment.
Right, especially to those unbelievers considered as goats, the unrighteous, to include the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Day of Redemption.
Which would be for the sheep or the righteous. And you can read about that in Matthew 25.
Face to face. That's a great one.
That's really wonderful. Again, Moses first uses this idiom in Exodus 33:11, and it means in person, not actually eye to eye. Scripture says that Moses saw God face to face, even though it was God's back, because he talked person to person with God. As I just said, this was the second time on on the mountain when Moses returned on a Yom Kippur. Now, as well, Israel's high priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. And it, too, even with all the smoke, was termed as seeing God face to face. No one on earth can see his actual face.
Someday we will, though.
Yeah, amen. So here's a great gold nugget for you, and a great reason why we should understand these appointments, our Jewish roots, with their certain phrases. Because just as Paul told us the rapture would be at the last trump, which is a phrase for Rosh Hashanah, Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, that now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. You see, he's giving us another great clue that Jesus' second coming to earth will be on a Yom Kippur. Paul knew exactly what he was doing by giving us this amazing clue, just like he did with the last trump, referring to the Feast of Trumpets for the resurrection / rapture of the righteous. Okay, some other idiom for Yom Kippur is the great trump, which is only blown on Yom Kippur. Remember, I've taught this before, but let me say it again. There are three idioms for three shofar trumpets blown on three certain feasts. First, trump is for Pentecost because it was the first time God blew the shofar and recorded it in Exodus 19 at Mount Sinai when they received the law. Then there is the last trump because at the 100th blast on Rosh Hashanah, the last trump would usher in the new year. And finally, the great trump blown on Yom Kippur, especially in the Jubilee year, Leviticus 25. Which it surely will be when Christ returns to earth at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Okay, let's look at Leviticus 16 now regarding Yom Kippur. I'm going to read verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat. Now, in Hebrew, that word is Azazel. Continuing, it says, "And shall send the goat away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man." Now, according to the writings of Enoch and confirmed by the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon and remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient times. Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making of swords, knives, shields, and armor, and taught women the art of ornamenting the body, dyeing the hair, and painting the face, and also revealed to the people the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity. Until at last, he was at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he and his cohorts abide in utter darkness until the great day of judgment, when they are all let out upon the earth. Read it in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, Isaiah 26 also refers to this. However, it will all end at the end of the tribulation when they are cast into the fire forever. Again, this is what Enoch wrote about, who had firsthand experience because God favored him and he raptured him up. These writings were put on Noah's Ark, preserved, and read by others, including the early church fathers, and referred to in Scripture, again, by Jude and Peter. And now, we too can read them. It's just absolutely amazing to see how God wants his faithful to have such knowledge. But again, it's one's choice to know. And according to the Mishnah around 200 AD, which is a commentary on the Torah, and by the historian Josephus, on Yom Kippur, a red sash was tied to this scapegoat called Azazel, then led out to the wilderness where the red sash was then placed on a nearby rock. When the goat was pushed over the cliff, the sash would turn bright white, showing their sins were atoned for. They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. However, now here's the good part. The Mishnah also states, after the death of Christ around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Jesus' death had now freed them, which is why he let the temple be destroyed. Sacrifices were no longer needed. And Joel 2:15 through 17 uses Yom Kippur terminology as well, and I'm going to read that to you. It says, blow the trumpet, this is the great trumpet, in Zion, sanctify a fast, that's only on Yom Kippur, call a solemn assembly, also on Yom Kippur, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, again, all Yom Kippur terminology. Goes on to say, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Now, and of course, this matches Isaiah 26:20, and we're up in heaven, and at the end we'll be led out of the bridal chamber and returned to earth with Christ. Verse 17 goes on to say, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Saints, this is only done on a Yom Kippur. Do you see why it's important to have some basic knowledge of the feasts? And I just have to say, precious ones, if you're listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, remember, Christ really did die on the cross for you. And he went through hell for you. And he stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, if you hear my voice, open the door. I will come into you and will sup with you and you with me. I know he's knocking right now. You wouldn't be listening. But he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. If you even wonder whether you are possibly an in-name-only Christian, talked about Matthew 7:21, you might only have a head knowledge of him, and you might not just really be a true or have a true heart conviction. In other words, you don't care about reading his word. Well, you need to get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. It's time to leave with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. So keep looking up. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.